ります。私は操り人形が嫌いです。ドキがします。
And that is Dynamo's Rhythm Aces. Oh, and here are our hyperventilating friends. Okay, Dynamo's Rhythm Aces, that was Wannabe. I'm sure you recognize the tune there. Not the band, probably. You can get those. Well, I don't know. I'll just put the URL in the show notes. How about that? Hey, welcome everybody. It's Skinny White Boy. This is the Skinny White Boy Cast Pod. It's June 9th. Don't know what time it is, don't care. We've got cigarettes, beer, and another cheap-ass microphone to bring you this show. And what a show it's going to be. Well, I don't know that, but let me tell you about it. We decided to do when I say we, I mean I'm all by myself, but we just sounds better. Yes, we does. I don't know. Does it sound better, really? You tell me. Why don't you write me and tell me what you think? Castpod@gmail.com. Cast with a K, pod@gmail.com. Okay, a Letterman theme in this show. We're going to be doing some audio bits from Alan Coulter. That's Letterman's announcer. By the way, if you don't know who David Letterman is, The Late Show with David Letterman every weekday on CBS. As if the guy needs my plug, right? He really doesn't. But yeah, we came to this because I was going to do some silly top 10, and that is so Letterman to do that. And guess what? When I was looking at audio to play underneath that top 10 that I was doing, all I could come up with was David Letterman this, David Letterman that, David Letterman such, David Letterman so. So we decided, you know what? We'll do the entire show with a David Letterman theme. So we got Alan Coulter, the announcer, coming up. We got Dave himself, of course. We've got Pod Unsafe Music by Paul Shaver and the CBS Orchestra. The CBS Orchestra being David Letterman's band on the show. Of course, we got some Pod Safe audio. You already heard Wannabe by Dynamo's Rhythm Aces. Also, we got Mr. Pink and the Fuzzy Wigglies. Hey, I didn't come up with that band name. Come on. Then we got a Dutch band by the name of Andromeda. I don't really know they're a band. They're more sort of a music project. Really cool. We got the top 10. We're going to go into... hold on. Let me just Guys, simmer down. Thank you, the two hyperventilating dudes. Regulars on our show. If you've listened to the first one, you know. Okay, we've got Alan Coulter, the announcer for David Letterman, coming up. But first, I want you to listen to this very special announcement.
Hi there, ladies. This is Wanda Wisdom from Lucky Bitch Radio, and you're listening to the Skinny White Boy Cast Pod. Why is it cast pad? Podcast. Why is it like that? I don't know. Why is there a K? Is that some kind of communist thing?
You know, as before the show, Alan Coulter, our announcer, Alan Coulter came to me and he said, Dave, I have some thoughts about the blizzard of '03. Oh. And he said, if you have some extra time on the show tonight, I would like to say a few words about the blizzard.
Oh.
And we have a couple of seconds here. So, Alan, if you're ready, take it away. Alan,
thank you very much, Dave. Gentlemen. You know, Dave, while everyone loves snow, a blizzard of this magnitude is very serious business. There are a few essentials you need to keep in mind to avoid any problems. Make sure you have plenty of water stocked up in your home. Pets should not be allowed to go outside unattended. And when you get home, take off wet clothing to avoid catching cold. Whoa, not so fast. Take it off slow. That's better. Your inhibitions melt away as eyes slide into your igloo. Loving you as only an Eskimo can. The forecast calls for you to be covered under an avalanche of Coulter. It may be white outside, but all you can see is red. Big red. And as you gaze at me in all of my glory, the only word you can mouth is abominable. My plow is revved up and ready to go all night.
That's Boy. Fine. That's fine, Alan.
Thank you.
And that just is one of the most beautiful ballads that I've heard in a long time. Andromeda. Andromeda. That's the name of the band. Or music project. Anywho, you can go check them out at andromeda.nl. That's the letter N, dromeda.nl. Just a little bit of silence there because, God, that is such a beautiful song. Okay, hey, I told you we were going to do a stupid top 10 list, and it's going to come up right now. The topic of, as Dave would say, the topic of tonight's top 10 list is, or something like that anyway. The topic of tonight's top 10 list, today's top 10 list, whenever you listen to its top 10 list, is the top 10 signs you have been podcasting for way too long.
The category, top 10 signs you're a dumb guy. Yes! Yes! At last! Something I'll understand.
Okay. No, Dave, didn't you listen to me? It was the top 10 signs you've been podcasting for too long. I probably should do some background music with this, but you know what? Besides the two hyperventilating dudes, I don't have any. So we're just going to do this in silence. Well, not quite, because I'll be talking. But anyway, number 10. Your podcast was featured in more than 10 other podcasts. Number 9. To return the favor, you made a jingle for all the podcasts that featured yours. Number 8. Your podcast has been featured in more than 10 other podcasts in 1 week. Number 7. Nobody commented on your podcast yet, so you hit refresh in your browser. Number 6. You communicate with your children by means of an RSS feed. Number 5. You subscribe to the entire iPod directory just to check if someone mentioned your show. Number 4. You actually listen to all shows in the entire iPodder directory, just to see if someone mentioned your show. Number 3. When Adam Curry plays your promo, you take your wife to a fancy restaurant to celebrate. Okay. Number 2. You bought an iRiver just so you could do a soundseeing tour of the elevator ride up to your cubicle. And number 1...
Will you relax? Will you get off my back? Will you give me a minute to think? Easy, easy. You're driving me too hard. Give me a break. I need to think. I need time.
Okay, Dave. And number 1. Your wife is at least 10 years your senior. You've owned and sold a private helicopter. You think your listeners care what kind of coffee you drink. Your regular commute involves different countries. You call yourself a geek, but in the same sentence, admit you are not very good at AppleScript, world's easiest scripting language. You complain about U.S. airport security, but fly to or from one at least once a week to spread the word about your latest invention.
Podcasting.
And that was this week's, or this today's, or whenever, top 10. I don't know if we're ever going to do another one again. But anywho, it doesn't matter, because here is the next PodSave tune. It's Mr. Pink and the Fuzzy Wigglies, The Beer Song.
Fucking Zima, cause we won't touch the stuff.
Beer with a lime, beer with a lemon, beer with really hairy women, beer with pizza, beer with golf.
Why is it always the fattest guy at the ballgame's the first one to take his shirt off? free up your trends and split with all your redneck friends. Tap the rock and silver bullet. Life is good when your gut's full of it. Drinking beer's our favorite thing. With the sweet bikini team. Don't you let that smooth taste fool you. Don't the Clydesdale horses scare you? Beer with a lime, beer with a lemon. Beer on Christmas and Thanksgiving. Beer with bowls, beer at the beach. As long as there's a beer free. Red Dog, Keystone, MGD, Red Bull, Blue Bull, and OE, Avita, Tecate, and Purple Haze, Miller High Life from Summer Days, Stella's White, Pale, and Red Crew, Beach, Sugardale, Bohemia, too, Lone Star, Jacks, and Red Stripe, I feel like a beer tonight. Beer while we're here on earth, and we'll bring your beer in heaven. And all your beer dreams come true, and all your six packs turn to seven. So many beers around the world, one thing is clear to me. The beer that tastes the best by far is the beer that's free. Oh, yeah!
That was Mr. Pink and the Fuzzy Wigglies, the beer song. Go get it at garageband.com. That's where I got it. Okay, hey, now, if you listened to last week's episode, and I say last week's episode because the episode actually was recorded last week, not because this is supposed to be any kind of weekly thing, because I'm going to keep it with great irregularity. Just the way I like it. But anywho, if you listen to last week's episode, number one of the Skinny White Boy Cast Pod, then you know that I did a piece of historical audio, something that I like to call the historical sound bite. Well, I got one lined up for you today as well, and staying with the David Letterman theme, it is indeed a sound bite by David Letterman, and it's not so much historical in that it's old, because it really isn't all that old. It's historical in what transpired in the 8 minutes, somewhere around the 8 minutes worth of monologue that you're going to listen to. You may or may not know that the Late Show with David Letterman is recorded in New York City. And I shouldn't have to tell you that. New York City, of course, lost 5,000 of its citizens in the September 11 attacks, and it must have been really weird for David Letterman, who does a variety show. You know, he does stupid stuff like stupid pet tricks, and he has a segment that's called Will It Float, and you know, it's basically just crazy antics. I mean, not just him and his band and all of his sidekicks, but, you know, also the guests that are on that show. So basically a variety show. So it must be really weird. It must have been really strange for him to go back to work after the 9/11 attacks. The day that he got back to work was September 17th, the first show after the first one of his shows after the 9/11 attacks. And you can hear the emotion in his speech. And I mean, think of how strange this is when you are set to tape a show like his in the middle of a war zone. And of course, you know, it wasn't a war zone technically, but it was at least, you know, a disaster area. But for the people that live and work there, you know, it might as well have been a war zone. Imagine that within, you know, minutes, these people would lose every sense of security that they ever had. And, you know, they're now living and working next to, you know, a piece of rumble that was created by by people that flew airplanes into buildings. And, you know, on top of that, David Letterman is a comedian. Or at least he has a comedy show. So, yeah, imagine that you have to address an audience of millions, and they're expecting, you know, relief from you, comic relief, and you have to give that to them. And so the monologue that you're going to hear, you'll be hearing that strain. You know, and I can remember where I was when it happened. I mean, not anywhere close, but my world sort of shattered. He was a lot closer, and not more than a week later, he had to get back to work in that war zone, and he had to get back to work entertaining people. Imagine how weird that is. But the gist of his speech, the speech that he is giving and that you're going to be listening to, is, you know, that no matter what, things can always get worse. And you might think, how can things, you know, after an attack where the United States loses 5,000 people in a matter of hours, how can things possibly get worse? Well, you know, in the greater scheme of things, it might not be something that is, you know, as significant to the rest of the country or to the rest of the world as this, but things might actually get worse. You know, maybe just on you know, on a personal level, there will come a day that you feel even worse than you did that day. And, you know, that sounds really bad, but you also got to realize that, you know, even though when that happens, and that, I guess, is the gist of what you're about to hear, even though when that happens, you know, there's always, always light at the end of the tunnel. Ladies and gentlemen, David Letterman.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the Late Show. This is our first show on the air since New York and Washington were attacked. And I need to ask your patience and indulgence here, because I want to say a few things. And believe me, sadly, I'm not going to be saying anything new. And in the past week, others have said what I will be saying here tonight far more eloquently than I'm equipped to do. But if we are going to continue to do shows, I just need to hear myself talk for a couple of minutes. And so that's what I'm going to do here. It's terribly sad here in New York City. We've lost 5,000 fellow New Yorkers, and you can feel it. You can feel it. You can see it. It's terribly sad. Terribly, terribly sad. And watching all of this, I wasn't sure that I should be doing a television show, because for 20 years we've been in the city making fun of everything, making fun of the city, making fun of my hair, making fun of Paul, well. So to come to this circumstance that is so desperately sad, I don't trust my judgment in matters like this. But I'll tell you the reason that I am doing a show and the reason I am back to work is because of Mayor Giuliani. Very early on, after the attack, and how strange does it sound to invoke that phrase, after the attack, Mayor Giuliani encouraged us, and here lately implored us, to go back to our lives, go on living, continue trying to make New York City the place that it should be. And because of him, I'm here tonight. And I just want to say one other thing about Mayor Giuliani. As this began, and if you were like me, and in many respects, God, I hope you're not, but in this one small measure, if you're like me, and you're watching and you're confused and depressed and irritated and angry and full of grief, and you don't know how to behave, and you're not sure what to do, and you don't really, because we've never been through this before, all you had to do at any moment was watch the mayor. Watch how this guy behaved. Watch how this guy conducted himself. Watch what this guy did. Listen to what this guy said. Rudolph Giuliani is the personification of courage. And
And it's very simple. There is only one requirement for any of us, and that is to be courageous. Because courage, as you might know, defines all other human behavior. And I believe, because I've done a little of this myself, pretending to be courageous is just as good as the real thing. He's an amazing man, and far, far better than we could have hoped for. To run the city in the midst of this obscene chaos and attack, and also demonstrate human dignity, my God, who can do that? That's a pretty short list. The 20 years that we've been here in New York City, we've worked closely with the police officers and the firefighters, and And fortunately, most of us don't really have to think too much about what these men and women do on a daily basis. And the phrase, New York's finest and New York's bravest, you know, did it mean anything to us personally, firsthand? Well, maybe, hopefully, but probably not. But boy, it means something now, doesn't it? They put themselves in harm's way to protect people like us. And the men and women from the firefighters and the police department who are lost are going to be missed by this city for a very, very long time. And my hope for myself and everybody else, not only in New York but everywhere, is that we never, ever take these people for granted. Absolutely never take them for granted. I just want to go through this, and again, forgive me if this is more for me than it is for people watching. I'm sorry, but I have to go through this. The reason we were attacked, the reason these people are dead, these people are missing and dead, and they weren't doing anything wrong. They were living their lives. They were going to work. They were traveling. They were doing what they normally do. As I understand it, and my understanding of this is vague at best, another smaller group of people stole some airplanes and crashed them into buildings. And we're told that they were zealots fueled by religious fervor. And if you live to be 1,000 years old, will that make any sense to you? Will that make any goddamn sense? I'll tell you about a thing that happened last night. There's a town in Montana by the name of Choteau. It's about 100 miles south of the Canadian border. And I know a little something about this town, and it's 1,600 people. 1,600 people. And it's an ag business community, which means farming and ranching. And Montana's been in the middle of a drought for, I don't know, 3 years. And if you got no rain, you can't grow anything. And if you can't grow anything, you can't farm. And if you can't grow anything, you can't ranch because the cattle don't have anything to eat. And that's the way life is in this small town, 1,600 people. Last night at the high school auditorium in Choteau, Montana, they had a rally, home of the Bulldogs, by the way. They had a rally for New York City. And not just a rally for New York City, but a rally to raise money for New York City. And if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about the spirit of the United States, then I can't help you. I'm sorry. And I have one more thing to say, and then thank God Regis is here, so we have something to make fun of. if you didn't believe it before, and it's easy to understand how you might have been skeptical on this point. If you didn't believe it before, you can absolutely believe it now. New York City is the greatest city in the world. We're going to try and feel our way through this, and we'll just see how it goes. Take it a day at a time. We're lucky enough tonight to have two fantastic representatives of this town, Dan Rather and Regis Philbin, and we'll be right back.
Brenda, where's Kitty?
I'm a dork. Okay, that was Paul Shaver and the CBS Orchestra. What I did forget, though, that's why I said I'm a dork. There is supposed to be a piece of intro music in between me yapping and the historical audio. So I simply forgot some. You know what? This is podcasting. It doesn't have to sound professional. It doesn't have to follow a format. You don't have to redo it if you don't want to. I'm just going to play it now.
One of the most thrilling adventures in the war happened today when an American destroyer dashed to within 25 miles of Tokyo to rescue two American flyers.
Let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate.
All right, guys. Hey, that was it for today. Yes, it was. Sorry. Couldn't do it any longer. Well, 35 minutes. Wow. That's a new record. Of course, there's only been two episodes yet, so what am I yapping about, right? I guess I'm a little loud here, and so are these guys. Turn them down. Thank you. Hey, I had a ball once again making this Skinny White Boy Cast Pod. If you got anything to say, go to skinnywhiteboy.castpod.org. That's skinnywhiteboy.castpod.org. You can leave your comments there. You can also drop them in an email, castpod@gmail.com. Leave audio comments. Really love that. I promise I'll play them if they're any kind of fun anyway. Thanks to Marco Ronche. He so graciously provided that microphone when the good one that I now have back broke. And so I could do the episode number one anywho. Of course, still sounded like crap because then I went way overboard with all the neat little features in Audacity. That's cool. Marco, anywho, thanks very much for giving me that microphone on such a short notice so I could do this. Number one, anyway. We're now at number two. Thanks also to Bernd Kreliger from the Dutch podcast De Pot Op and to Fashion Slurry and Duke Slurry from the Slurry Source. Those two for spamming my show. Really appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much. Thanks to Wanda Wisdom for providing that great announcement. I really love it. Bitch. It's great. No, really. Thank you. Think it's really awesome. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for listening, everybody. It's been great. I'm going to say bye-bye now. I really have nothing more to say, so why don't I just shut up? Yes, I'll do that, and I'll talk to you sometime soon.